Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Opinion Line, Cork's 96 FM.
Good morning, PJ. How are you?
Good, very good, thank you, and thank you for taking our call.
No problem.
What is wrong with the rollout, Minister? It's very slow.
Well, in general terms, it is being given out as quickly as it's arriving into the country. I mean, as of this day last week, we had received a total of 520,000 doses of the three different types of vaccine. And on Saturday, 2 days ago, as you know, we had 500,000 that had been administered. So what the HSE are telling us is that within a week of vaccines arriving into Ireland, 99.6% of them have been administered. So in overall terms, like, the constraint here, the limiting factor, is supply internationally. There have been issues with AstraZeneca supplies, and there have been, unfortunately, reliability issues there that are well documented. There were three occasions in the last short number of weeks where, at short notice, the supply schedule was not kept, was not honoured. And those changes have a big impact because, of course, that vaccine at the moment is not being administered to elderly people. As you know, in line with the advice. So they have to change the plans. So that's the reason why the 100,000 target last week for people vaccinated fell short. In reality, it was about 81,000. And this week, the forecast is for 84,000. But separate to that, then, there were operational issues, and you've touched on them there, with a number of GP practices not getting the vaccines exactly when they were told they would get them, and in some cases not getting the consumables, the syringes and so on, exactly when they should have got them. And now, it was in a relatively small number of cases, and the HSE have put in place measures now to address that. They have new relationship managers identified to liaise with the GP practices. They've given a commitment that they will have a longer notice period in advance to let them know when exactly the vaccines are due to arrive, and they've put in place improved communications. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was a small minority of cases, but, you know, quite rightly, everyone has to be held accountable when things don't go right. And the vast majority of cases went right. There were some issues, but they will be fixed.
But fine. But here's the thing. It's not like anyone got a phone call at Minister at the end of December and said, oh, by the way, we just found a vaccine. We knew this was coming. We knew there'd be a vaccination program. We knew it would have to be rolled out. Like, when did the preparations start? Because it sounds like it's being made up as you go along sometimes.
I can assure you and the listeners, it's not. The preparations have been underway for many months. And, I mean, I'm sure you've been listening to Paul Reid and Dr. Colm Henry and Professor Breen McCrann in the last week or so, like, just explaining the really complex logistics involved. It is the largest and most complex vaccination program in the history of the state. The mRNA vaccines, the Moderna and Pfizer BioNTech, are challenging because of the storage requirements and the requirements to administer them very quickly once they're separated into the different vials and so on. So it is complex, but I think that in the context of 1,300 GP practices around the country, there were issues, according to the HSE, with around 60 to 65 of them. You know, it's a relatively small number, and they will learn from that, and they do need to learn from that, because the numbers that will come through are going to increase dramatically. And so we have have to be ready to handle about 250,000 doses per week. And, you know, I have the projections here with me. I mean, in the month of April, we should be receiving well over 1 million doses. And we have the mass vaccination centres, about 37 around the country. Mm. We have the GPs up and running. The pharmacists will also get up and running. There's a good system and structure in place now to ramp it up and get it out as quickly as it comes in.
As you look, I can appreciate, Minister, you looked across the border to the north, where almost 40% of the adult population has received at least a first dose of a vaccine. And here we are, just south, you know, on the other side of the border, and we're struggling to make the small targets we have. So if there's 250,000 coming a week, it's very worrying. Can it get out to the regions? Can it get out to the surgeries? Can it get out to the vaccination centres?
It will. I mean, in quarter two, so between April, May and June, the current forecast is that we'll receive between 3.8 and 3.9 million doses. Now, that is depending on the manufacturers, you know, meeting the dose supply commitments in relation to the north. I mean, they have done things differently. The UK approved the vaccines before the EU member states. They did so through their own domestic regulatory authorities. Ireland and the other EU member states waited for the European Medicines Agency to approve the vaccine. So that means we were starting later. And then we all purchased our vaccines through a coordinated purchase agreement done at European Union level. Yeah. And like, we've ordered over 18 million doses, which will be enough to vaccinate over 10 million people. Yeah. And as you know, the EMA is looking at the Johnson & Johnson vaccine this week, and they hopefully will approve that, and that's a one-shot jab. So once
what have we ordered of that?
Sorry?
What is ordered of that for us? Because that is the game changer. Like, that's the one.
We have ordered about 2.2 million doses of that, so that alone will be enough to inoculate like a large percentage of the adult population. So in quarter two, we're expected to receive just over 600,000 doses of that one. So it is much, much easier to administer, and you know, it's a very reputable company, and if it is approved this week, it will take a number of weeks before those vaccines start to actually arrive to any European country. But there is ongoing contact with the manufacturer there, and as soon as they are ready, they will be distributed. So they are on the way.
As you know, Minister, less than 3 miles from your hometown of Carrigaline is one of the biggest clusters of pharmaceutical companies in Europe. Is there some reason why we can't be making these things here, as well as just buying them in?
Well, I suppose it's primarily a question for the companies as to where they manufacture the vaccines. Some of them have outsourced the function to other companies to add to their own capacity, but there aren't vaccines being manufactured in Cork or in Ireland. But, you know,
have the government said to any of the companies, look, you know, we actually could you not make them here? We have factories, we have all the people are in place. Could you not come and manufacture them here?
I mean, I would imagine that, you know, reconfiguring a factory and providing the expertise at an individual plant level, a site level, is not straightforward. But there have been conversations. There's ongoing contact at a very senior level. As it happens, the head of Pfizer in Ireland is also called Paul Reid, and he is in regular contact, I know, with the Taoiseach and Minister for Health and the government generally. So, like, there are no easy answers when it comes to getting extra supply. And I know there's a lot of talk about other countries and, you know, can we not take spare vaccines? Yeah. We've availed of every opportunity.
Arlene Foster was only saying yesterday that, you know, they're proceeding apace, and in actual fact, if they have excess, they'd be quite happy to give them to us. Wouldn't it be a great thing for the border counties in particular, Minister, to be able to get spare AstraZeneca from the north?
We will take spare vaccines from wherever we can get them, provided they have been approved by the European Medicines Agency, and the vaccines that are currently being administered in the north have been approved. But none of those countries, you know, whether it be Britain, Northern Ireland, you know, Denmark, any of the countries that we have relationships with, are not at the point of having spare vaccines that they're offering up. Now, there were a number of European countries that were not using their supply of AstraZeneca vaccines, and for a period of time, and were stockpiling them. There were reports of about 2 million doses in Germany not being used, for example, but they now have changed their policies, and a number of those countries are now starting to administer AstraZeneca to their older population. So, you know, we are asking around, and we are, of course, pursuing every opportunity.
Because
that's there,
as you can appreciate, we are falling. We are falling behind, to be fair. Like, the other thing too, Johnson & Johnson approved in the States, as you know. Like, we could we not, grant emergency approval ourselves as a nation, rather than waiting on the European Union, which seems to have some objection to doing things quickly?
Yes, I believe you could do that, but I think that that is a more risky strategy.
Well,
I
why? It's been approved by the FDA.
Yeah, but they're not the competent authority that we have in Ireland or the European Union.
But are they? Surely they're on a par at least.
Look, you would imagine that that they have very rigorous assessment procedures in place to interrogate vaccines.
They were there, in fairness, they were there before the European crowd.
Yeah, I'm not questioning that, but look, it's a rabbit hole that we could go down and never get out of. I think that, you know, we have been served well overall by entering into the coordinated purchasing agreements. A small country like Ireland may not have been able to secure as much supply of vaccine. We've 18 million doses on the way, enough for 10 million people. Yeah. We now have, you know, a commitment that nearly 4 million doses will arrive in quarter two. I mean, the main issue is that the supply just isn't there.
Are we interested in the Russian vaccine, Sputnik? The figures from it are good.
Yeah, we are interested, provided it's approved by the EMA, and they
It's going to be made in Germany, so presumably they will approve it now.
Well, they are now looking at it, and
are we guaranteed to get a proportion of everything approved by Europe?
Provided we have signed up to it, and we have signed up to essentially all of the prospective vaccines that are out there.
And that's so anything approved by Europe, we'll get a chunk of, is that it?
Yeah, we will. We will. And while, you know, I hear the criticism that's made of Ireland and the pace of the rollout, within European terms, we are one of the better performers. So there's a lot of talk of Israel.
It doesn't frankly feel that way, Minister. The other thing about it is this, and it's very important. People have been really trying hard to deal with the implications of this lockdown. And the big promise that they're clinging to, and I speak personally, this lockdown, it's been hard on everybody I know. Everybody, family, friends, workmates, it's been really hard. But we're clinging to the idea that if we hang in there, as they say, hold firm, there will shortly be somewhere I can go, get a needle in my arm, and my problems are solved. The faster the better. There's going to be nearly half the adult population in the north vaccinated any day now. And here we are. When are we all going to be able to say, right, I'll have my vaccine next week, I'll have my vaccine? People are crying out for a chance to get a vaccine in their arm and get their lives back, Minister.
Yeah. And I'm one of them too. I completely understand that. But I think the really good news here is that the vaccines that have been administered to date have proven to be highly effective. And we have had a dramatic fall in case numbers in our nursing homes, among our frontline healthcare
staff. Good. That's all great. Marvellous. That's marvellous. But the rest of us are still staying at home. The pubs are closed, the businesses are closed. By the way, I'm in no rush to open anything unsafely. I promote it on this programme, public safety all the time. But the faster we get the vaccines into people's arms, the faster we can get the economy rolling again.
I agree, and the two are inextricably linked. There's no doubt about
it. There's a dovetailing there.
There is.
Because if you look at the numbers now, and here, come to our own native Cork, Michael, for a second.
Yep.
We're now the best performing county in the country in terms of transmission.
Yep.
So, we, like, Cork is crying out now for vaccines. People have worked so hard and sacrificed so much to get the numbers down. They want their vaccines. The City Hall is empty. Why is there nothing happening in there?
Well, it's a question of supply. I mean, we're putting in place the infrastructure, and those facilities are going to be needed because we're essentially going to be trebling the number of vaccines that are administered each week. So if you take that it was 81,000 last week, you know, we will be moving towards three times that. We'll be moving towards a quarter of a million a week. And so we're not going to be able to do all of that at the GP clinics. That's why we need the pharmacies on board. We have signed agreements with them. In place, all of the funding provided. We have the 37 mass vaccination centres now in place, ready to go. So we have put all of the infrastructure and the capacity in place to ensure that the vaccines are administered as soon as they arrive. And like that's the main reassurance that I can give to your listeners, PJ, is that the government will leave no stone unturned. We have spared no resource in sourcing vaccines from wherever we can. We've signed up to every opportunity to get the vaccines and I have assured Stephen Donnelly and Paul Reid of the HSC that whatever they need to do to get them out as quickly as possible will be done, and the resources will be provided to do that. So I know people are impatient, and we all want to get there as quickly as we can, but I take great heart from the experience to date. They are working, and a lot more of them are coming, and they're coming fairly quickly now, and that's really positive news.
Well, can I invite you here and now to come back on the show in a month's time, and we'll talk about where the progress is compared to today, and maybe we can organise that between, as they say, your people and my people.
Of course.
But
anytime.
Just before I let you go, Minister, on the subject of quarantine, we hear there in the news at 10 o'clock that the President has now signed the quarantine into law, but it's still going to take at least another week?
It's almost there. So I was in touch with Minister Donnelly over the weekend, and the Department of Health has done a huge amount of work now to get this up and running. It will be among the strictest quarantining regimes in Europe, and it will involve hotel quarantining for people coming from a whole list of countries. It is already a legal requirement that people quarantine in their place of residence when they come into Ireland, but for those coming from countries that are deemed to be higher risk, they will be doing so in a state-controlled facility. You know, it is, in normal times, that would be seen as an extreme measure.
And you're wary of the warnings coming from Australia that if you don't quarantine everybody, it will fail.
I don't believe it will fail. I think that it is a proportionate response, and I think the public want to see it. They do want to see people coming in from most countries now where the new variants are
But it's so easy
prominent.
What I mean is, if it's not a blanket quarantine, it's so easy to evade. Because if I'm coming from a country where I'll have to quarantine, all I've got to do first is fly into a country where I won't have to quarantine, and I'll come in that way.
Oh, no, it will take account of where people have transited through. I mean, the issue is where your journey has originated. And, you know, a lot of the people coming back into Ireland now are Irish people returning, unfortunately, in some cases from holidays that they shouldn't have been taking. And in other cases, people who did have genuinely essential trips that they had to make. We also have essential workers who have to come in and out of the country on an ongoing basis to keep the supply chains open and to make sure that, you know, goods and medicines and everything that we need for our daily lives continue to flow. All of this, you know, will
have... That doesn't have to stop when you have mandatory quarantine, by the way.
It doesn't have to stop, but it does just underline the point that you can't close the country's borders and keep everyone out. That's just not realistic if you want the country to continue to function with any level of normality. So
there's no question of any keeping everybody out. It's essential, non-essential. Non-essential is what you're quarantining.
Yeah, and that is already in place for people coming into the country. But the difference now is it will be done in hotels that they themselves will be paying for. But it is already a legal requirement for people who come here to do that. And if they don't, they can be prosecuted.
Okay. I'm going to leave it there with you for today. Hopefully we can come back in a few weeks, Minister, and see what's happening with the vaccine rollout in Cork. Thank you very much, Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Michael McGrath.
Cork's 96 FM.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.